So the development of the unit card and then the movement to the inverted index, is this?
Those are two steps. The other step is I'm trying to think who started this, the idea of a record with fields.
Well, pretty much that's what what had been done with the IBM various punch card machines.
Well, now we're getting into now it's on tape.
Right.
And you have fields or zones,
mm-hmm.
and you got a subject. Only one of the fields is a subject field, and then they reach the stage where you can focus on. I remember Garfield giving me a lecture on this, saying that people frequently want everything by a given author on this combination of subjects. And you could do that.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the real kickoff, when
mm-hmm.
you could start doing that
mm-hmm.
by feel.
And he was able to do that with the 101 machine.
He could do some of it.
Yeah.
But when we get into computers, then you can really do it.
Yeah. Well, of course, Claire Schultz was doing some work at the drug company she
That's
worked
right.
for.
Merck.
Uh-huh.
Merck Sharp and Dohme.
Right. She was also using a 101 machine about the same time. And I think they were coming up with some of the same kinds of findings and approaches.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about all those special purpose machines, whether they were manual or automated. You mentioned the Western, the Shaw selector.
Rapid
selector wasn't worth anything. The Western Reserve searching selector came to naught.
Mm-hmm.
All of these.
Well, they were Rube Goldberg's.
They were.
Sort of. But they were all too slow. You couldn't do, it'd take ages to do anything.
Uh-huh.
Even though they were ostensibly fast, to the eye they're fast.
Mm-hmm.
But it had to be electronic.
Yeah. Was there too much concentration on those things to the neglect of, or were they just paving the way for when we finally got the general purpose computer that had high speed and a lot of storage? How do you assess that whole?
Well, we've gone in two directions. First, we went into an era of mainframes,
mm-hmm.
where the thing would hold everything and
mm-hmm.
do everything, but had limited access. And then they started continuing with mainframes, but with terminals attached to them.
Mm-hmm.
And Moores was involved in that. He had the thing called the interactive typewriter.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And there he was saying you could read instructions and you could read questions into the mainframe. And if you had your records set up right, it would tell you what we've got on that subject or
mm-hmm.
whatever you want. That was we had to have terminals. We had to have terminals. We had to have modems, so that the terminals could communicate
mm-hmm.
with the mainframe and the records in the mainframe, and they could be business records or they could be technical records. Because the thing is, every record is chopped into fields.
Right, right.
And that was fairly revolutionary. And I think that was a kickoff.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, there are so damn many opportunities, ways of getting at it. And if any given record that you see or know about can be on the internet in some form.
Yeah, true. Now, you mentioned a conversation you had with Henriette Abram. I guess this was about the Mark record?
Yeah, well, I had many conversations with.
Were you involved in the development of that?
I did a study of the use of the Mark record for Henriette, and it was a. They wanted to do a study of how far back should they go in a conversion of Mark, convert to Mark. That was my main. Relation to that. And that was another example where she just met me one day and said, hey, would you like to do a study for us?
Oh, yeah? Huh. So contacts, huh?
Yeah.
Let me ask you about the controversy between ADI and SLA, because you were a member of both.
Yeah. Controversy.
And, yeah. Particularly that controversy between the documentation folks. There was an expression about that, particularly the special librarians used, that said documentation is special library work done by amateurs. So how did all this affect you? And because you were sort, you had a foot pretty firmly in both camps.
Well, I mean, I sliced the pie slightly differently. I said that if you can get the information by whatever means you get it, let's say these guys who deal with reports, who ask a guy across the street, hey, you know about any good reports on certain subjects? And it works, then you get it. And I used to get arguments where you don't get everything. And I didn't say this guy wanted everything. He wants something. Maybe he wants the latest paper anybody knows about. And that's good. And that's anti-librarian, in a sense. But it turns out that the great users of the libraries, the basic scientists, they do the same thing by tracking down cited references or by talking to their colleagues at meetings. And I decided, and I remember sitting in the middle of these things, and frankly, wherever I was with them. I didn't want any controversy.
You didn't want to take sides because your business was dependent upon it, huh?
Well, I couldn't make up my mind who was right. And I thought everybody's right.
Now, what other folks have said to me is that the special librarian struck them as being very conservative and resistant to the new method.
They were.
Were they? How so?
Well, they were interested in cart catalogs. They were not interested in say, retrieval systems. And they didn't want to call a cart catalog a retrieval system. I remember having arguments. See, I'm talking to all these guys, basic scientists and applied scientists, and they all tell me they never use a cart catalog. So you never use a cart catalog? Oh yeah. After I, by another means, I've identified a title, then I look in the cart catalog to see whether the library has it. And
so they weren't using it for subject searching anyway, about ownership, huh?
No. As a matter of fact, I by I guess a misunderstanding getting taking me out of context. So in a report or a paper or something, I said, which means that the library card catalog is only used as a finding list. That's what I said.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't have said, which is ambiguous at best. A finding list. Mm-hmm. So if you do a subject search, the next thing I know, I'm quoted in Webster's Unabridged on the lists.
Oh, really?
And you can still find it. It's still sitting there.
Huh.
That the library card catalog is mainly a finding list.
Mm.
But that was interesting. It's,
well, did you find the special librarians resistant to technical reports?
A little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I was too, because they're one of the arguments I remember, various people were, as a matter of fact, chemical abstracts refused to include them for a long time
because it wasn't referee.
It was not referee. Yeah. And and then of course they started getting more and more ornate report preparations, divisions, and remember they had a very fancy one at the Johns Hopkins Applied Physics Lab by the time I left, and those were pretty, some report series were pretty fancy. We did a study, we wanted to make a report citation index. We actually proposed this to somebody, one of the agencies, I can't remember, maybe NASA. And I was intrigued to see to what extent papers and reports get cited in reports. And that, and there was a whole spectrum. In the more basic subjects, you get into the citation of journal articles, and the more applied, hardware-oriented or whatever, they tend to cite reports. Mm. I had numerous discussions with Garfield about that.
Yeah, yeah. Huh. Were there other areas? Well, let's just take for one example, ADI and SLA came pretty close to merging. They talked about it for a long time, contemplated. Did you take a stand on either side here?
No.
Didn't care one way or the other?
Didn't. Or I was otherwise occupied or preoccupied or whatever. I just never got into that discussion.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I was feeling that I'm being hypocritical in a sense, because if I go to one of their meetings, I'm with them, and if I go to one, I'm trying to be friendly.
Yeah, yeah.
But it wasn't, this was just instinctive. I just didn't feel like having any fights.
Well, there were good arguments on both sides.
Oh, there were.
Mm-hmm.
Extended arguments.
Now, in 1958, at the International Conference on Scientific Information, you gave three papers, is from what I saw. Were you involved in planning the conference and such? How did you get to present three papers?
As a matter of fact, I was the first secretary at a conference, and I resigned.
Oh, really?
And I subsequently submitted, I just wrote through. I had done three studies, which I and on speculation, I just submitted them.
Hmm.
One was subject slanting, of abstracts.
Mm-hmm.
And the other, another one was using reference questions to create a classification system. And the other one was what? How medical scientists get information.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wrote them up, submitted them. And remember enjoying, I wrote them all up in about, I had, these are studies I had done recently, and I remember sitting in a room in my house, and it was very sunny, it was a pretty day, sitting at a bridge table and writing them up. Boy, that was a good feeling.
Yeah. Well, how did they go over at the conference?
The one on subjects planting. There's something about that. They had review panels.
Mm-hmm.
And the panel that reviewed the subject landing paper, one of the members was Wilford, a member of the Atomic Energy Commission at the time, Libby. And he was he thought it was an interesting paper, but then he said, all you're saying here is that they mainly use, they lift off their abstracts, and therefore they can't be slanted. Mm-hmm. And he said, well, couldn't an abstract agree with your viewpoint, with the author's viewpoint?
Mm.
And I remember saying, Dr. Libby, I think they could.
Mm.
The other ones get, remember having an argument, being queried on my methodology and on the medical information.
Oh yeah. Huh.
I had this thing that one of the sources of information among medical scientists and medical practitioners certainly is medical detail men from drug companies.
Right. Uh-huh.
And I was claiming a lot of them never heard of the thing before. The detail man comes around and tries to sell them. And some people didn't think that was nice.
I think that's definitely the case, though. You were certainly finding that's the way physicians got a lot of their drug information. Yeah.
I had a lot of other fights with Marty Cummings at National Library of Medicine.
Oh, yeah?
Well, he assembled a panel to challenge me.
On that paper, huh?
On another study like it. And I had lined up six different studies on the use of detailmen.
Hmm.
And other methods of getting information.
Yeah.
This is among practicing physicians.
Mm-hmm.
And they were overwhelming. And they were questioning my methodology. And they were questioning the methodology of the studies. And I would say, gee, if you have 10 different studies and they all use different methodologies and they're all crummy, but they all come up with the same conclusions, can they be crummy in the same way? Can they be biased in the same way?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we finally scored that. They said they're all crummy studies, but they all conclude this. Make of it what you will.
Yeah. What did Cummings say? He still wouldn't accept it?
No, as a matter of fact, I remember I met him in a subsequent meeting years later, and he said, "Boy, I really gave you a hard time."
I can see where MDs would not like to admit that they got their drug information from detail men.
Particularly Morty, he was very proud of.
Yeah, that MD degree.
Boy.
You think that 58 conference had a really good long-term effect on the profession?
I think so. I think it did very much what Garfield's meeting did.
Mm-hmm.
And the Royal Society conference, it once again defined the field. Mm-hmm. And this is what they were trying to do. They had all these six or whatever divisions.
Mm-hmm.
And they were saying, this for now is what information science is comprised of.
Mm-hmm.
And with the understanding that 10 years from now it will be entirely different, I tried to get them to do a 20th anniversary, but it just wouldn't come off because everybody said there's so many other meetings going on.
The 20th anniversary of the 58th conference. We're part of the work that I'm doing,
yeah,
is going to try to plan a history session next year in 98, and we're considering that as maybe one of the themes. It's 50 years, well, in 98 will be 50 years since the 48th Royal Society Conference,
mm-hmm,
and 40 years since the 58th conference here.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're looking at that as theme possibilities. Now, of course, what you have to find are people who have done some research on the influence and looking at that, mm-hmm, and also to find some money to afford to bring folks maybe from Europe or who have been looking at that. But, yeah, it's an interesting, those anniversaries are nice.
Mm-hmm.
And we're hoping that this will come off as one of the sub-themes of this conference. You call H.P. Loon, whom we haven't talked about yet, the Thomas Edison of information science. Why is that?
He's just a genius, that's all. He invented, more or less, let's say he mechanized STI. He was one of the greatest innovators I have ever met. He got into indexing, and he did a lot of rationalizing. He was very clever. I remember something that has been attributed to me, but I picked it up from him, and that is indexing by assignment and indexing by what? In other words, where you get it from the language of the article, or where you get it from a land vocabulary.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he did this kind of rationalization. It doesn't sound like much, but it was revolutionary at the time.
Where to get it from, the document, you mean, or from some thesaurus?
Mm-hmm. Indexing by derivation or indexing.
Oh, right, derivative indexing, right.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Huh.
God, I had a long list of stuff that he did. Of course, there's a whole book on what he did.
Right, yeah, Claire Schultz did that book.
I remember her telling me off. I'm saying it's indexing. I wrote a paper in which I talked about indexing by assignment.
Mm-hmm.
And when she was preparing the book, she said, "I thought you invented that." And I said, "No, I was quoting Loon." And she said, "Well, you didn't make that clear." I told her, well, maybe I was trying to take her credit for it.
I see.
But she was mad as hell at me.
Oh, really? Of course, Loon's scanner, again, was one of those machines that never quite made it. Do you think there was a good core idea there?
Oh, yeah, but one of the problems is he hung on to a punch cards too long.
Yeah, uh-huh.
The Loon scanner, yeah. At the time, he was exciting. Now he would be passe.
Because he had all that force of IBM behind him, and he had these good ideas.
And he used to churn out these reports, which were very well written.
Yeah.
Very entertaining.
Uh-huh.
Very interesting. But when you think about it, now they're archaic.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta, in a sense, put yourself into context at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Compared to everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
He was a genius.
Mm. Was Loon easy to talk to?
Loon? Very.
Yeah.
Very funny guy, humorist.
Now, Claire Schultz said he used to, since he was on an IBM expense account, that he would invite a bunch of people out
That's
to dinner.
Right. That's right.
And those folks would just be talking about anything and everything,
mm-hmm.
but particularly information retrieval. And you were in that group frequently?
Frequently.
Yeah.
Lots of booze.
Lots of booze. What? To Loon, Taube, those kinds of folks, now gone. But someone said to me that Taube was, Taube, I want to call him Taube, but it's Taube, right, was the salesman of the information business. And that's what he should be recognized for more than anything else. But he went around, talked to CEOs, and sold, even though he maybe wasn't able to sell his system, he sold that idea.
I'm telling you, he also rationalized it. With the unit term system, he made people understand what information retrieval is.
Mm-hmm.
And in a sense, I guess, sold the field. People understood what you're talking about. What do you mean information retrieval?
Mm-hmm.
And he was talking about multi-subject searches. Not, of course, I used to have fights with him. I used to say to him, I can do multiple subject searches with catalog cards. On the top of the card is a subject, or I look at the tracing on the bottom of the card, and I can tell you, I'll pull out all the cards that have these two concepts on them.
Mm-hmm. What did he say to that?
Drop dead.
If it wasn't done on a machine.
Well, no. What I'm saying is, he used to say to me, if you want to stand on your head to do retrieval, I'm trying to simplify it.
Well, it was certainly true that you can do that with the card catalog. It's
sure.
slow, but you can do it. Well,
but he was, in a sense, an ambassador, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He was mainly publicizing himself, but in so doing, and his great intellect, but in so doing, he was selling the field. Mm-hmm.
And his flashiness helped or didn't, or hindered?
Oh, I think it helped.
Because he could get into the CEO's offices with that kind of brash approach?
Yeah, well, and remember, it's a dashing dresser in this.
Yeah.
Remember his baby blue Lincoln? Everything about him was splashy. And he exuded prosperity. No matter what was happening, he exuded prosperity.
Was he prosperous?
Pretty prosperous.
What? Tell me about the selling of his company, when that happened, and who bought it, because I'm certainly, I know it may be documented, but I can't, haven't traced it down.
Well, I think that Lisco purchased it. You know this guy, he's a big international financier type now. Saul, S-A-U-L, something or a Jewish name. And he founded Lisco. And then IBM, and they amortize them out in 5 years.